Welcome to Don't Quit, where you come to be encouraged to live a better life full of joy and purpose.
Happily ever after is not a fairy tale. It is a choice. Hey guys, welcome back to today's episode. We are talking about the number one key to have a million-dollar relationship and three ways you can take your relationship to the next level starting today. If you want a relationship that looks and feels like the most amazing thing on earth, you have to treat it as it is the most amazing thing on earth. Be sure to stick around because you will not want to miss the number one thing you can do to have a $5 million marriage. It is the best relationship advice that is backed by real life relationships, the Bible, science, and tons of research. So don't miss out on that. So let's jump right into this. We're going to talk about the three things you can do starting today to take your relationship to the next level. And then we will come to the $5 million marriage tip that you're not going to want to miss out. So number one is be candid no matter what. Do you ever think something but don't say it because you fear it'll sound weird? I have this happen like a lot to me, especially recently when I've just been thinking about speaking more and not being so scared to just say what I'm thinking. So I'll have a thought pop into my head about Rick, and rather than tell him, I would just not say anything. And this is so sad because sometimes we have these loving things that we think about, but we get embarrassed or we think it'll sound cheesy and we don't say them. Maybe if you're like me, you have had this happen. I know it's happened a lot to me, and I have started practicing speaking from my heart, even if it sounds funny in my head. I'll just say it as soon as I get like nervous to say something because I think it'll sound stupid. And as a side note, I just want to say, Rick never makes me feel bad for the things I'm saying. So it's not like, you know, he's being judgmental about what I'm saying, and so I don't want to say things. It's more just, I think society has made us feel like we can't really speak our mind because we have to think about everything we're saying, and if it sounds corny, we're not going to say it. And I just think I've kind of just gotten comfortable not speaking those positive things. So a good example of this, just from what I have found happen to me recently, is like I'll be driving down the road with Rick and it will pop into my mind that I'm like so thankful for his job and for his dedication to his job and how hard of a worker he is or how much he's doing around the house for us. And rather than say it, I'll just like think on it. It's so crazy because those are the most important things to start speaking. So I want to encourage you, start speaking those positive things. Now, when it comes to the negative things, I would also encourage you, think about it, give it some time and make sure that what you're going to say is that important, because we don't want to just be throwing around negativity for no reason. That's going to bring each other down. But at the same time, you need to be able to speak. And I know I've been able to be very comfortable and open with Rick when I have something that's bothering me. Thankfully, he will listen so well and also work through that with me. The danger of not doing this, not being candid no matter what, is that once you think that your feelings don't matter or won't be heard or are not worth sharing, you're going to open the door to harbor negativity and resentment. And that is a danger to a relationship. So start being candid and especially speak those positive, life-giving things and encouragement. Number two, schedule a date to actually talk about your relationship and how it is going. We schedule time to do just about everything else besides this. I mean, we schedule dinners and meals. We schedule exercise and play dates and meetings. We schedule haircuts and the list goes on and on. Why would we leave our relationship last? Now, I have to say, I'm going to be honest, I do not do very well with scheduling dates because with two little ones in the routine of just taking care of them, we oftentimes push dates aside for last. And that is a problem and something that we're trying to work on and be more intentional. One thing I've found to really help are the adventure books. They have amazing, it's like a scratch-off date book. You can find it on Amazon or the Adventure Challenge if you search that. It's been really fun because we can do a lot of the dates at home when the kids go to bed, and it really keeps our relationship exciting and also is doable with little ones. Definitely check that out, but that's just a side note. So the key here is that if you value something, you put the work in for it. And a good way to achieve this for us has been reading a Christian relationship book that challenges us to be the best we can be in our relationship. We have read The Love Language book by Gary Chapman. That is a really great one to start with. The Four Seasons that he wrote as well. The Four Seasons of Marriage by Gary Chapman has been great. We've read marriage books by Francis Chan. There are so many marriage books that you can find that really are going to help you to have a strong relationship. But the key here is to take time to plan for the future and make sure your feelings are being heard as you move through life together. And to take time to talk about how your relationship is at the current moment and where you want to get it in the future, where you want to take your relationship to, is going to be a huge blessing and will motivate you to reach the goals that you want to reach. Number three is release your partner from having to be your best friend. We expect so much from our relationships these days, and we think that our partner can be our best friend, our confidant, our co-parent, our companion, and the list goes on and on. This sets us up to be disappointed when our partner can't fulfill our needs. Your spouse is there to fill most of your needs, which is an amazing thing, guys. Think about that. God has given us marriage as such a gift to get through life and to do it with someone else. We're on that same mission together. But sometimes we take advantage of that and we need to free them from all that pressure. I know for me, just watching Rick, not only does he have a full-time job, but he also has taken on real estate, which was a decision that we made together, but it also takes up a lot of time. And between those two things, and then also making sure our marriage is strong and making sure the kids' needs are met and they are happy, there's a lot that goes into keeping a relationship strong. And that's a lot of pressure to put on one person. So I would encourage you to pursue relationships and community, and definitely read the book Find Your People by Jenny Allen. It's such a good book about how we can cultivate community and how important that is biblically, and also just how we're wired to need that. It's really a great read. Definitely check it out. And I'll never forget what it said in the book Boundaries, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. I don't have it right in front of me, but it was talking about how we all need more than just our spouse and one best friend, because this will release people from having to be our everything. Each of us have a life that we are trying to keep up with and maintain. We're trying to work through things, and there's just a lot of pressure on each person individually. So not everyone can be your everything, and having more relationships will allow for people to be busy when they need to, and for you to not build resentment against them because they're not there for you when you need them. So having those few close friends that you can kind of switch between and utilize them in your life in the way that you need to meet those needs is really important. And this is going to free your spouse to also build relationships with others, to make sure that they feel free to work as they need to and do things around the house and not be so consumed building resentment potentially at home. I want to make sure that I have it on record saying that I do feel that your spouse is the most important, and biblically, God gives them to you to do life together. And that does mean that you are unified and that you are each other's best friends and everything else in life. But also make sure to pursue outside community because it really is important and will provide more freedom in your relationship. All right, guys, I know the moment you have been waiting for. We are talking about the key to the $5 million relationship now, and I am really excited about this because I think that it has the power to change your relationships for the better, and it is the number one key I could say I see helping in a marriage, hands down. Each day we wake up, we have a choice. Love is an active daily choice, and you have control over how you are feeling. When we wake up and the first thing we notice is a flaw in our spouse, it's going to be hard to feel connected and in love for the rest of that day. If we wake up and find something we love or admire, then that sets the tone for the rest of the day. Can you see how that works? How important it is to lift each other up and make a habit of seeing and speaking the good. The key here is tiny acts of love compound over time. Did you listen to that? Tiny acts of love compound over time, and then they generate exponential growth and create happiness on par with being a millionaire. Wow, that is crazy. So, have you heard of the penny principle? if I asked you right now, would you rather have $1 million right this exact moment, or would you rather take a penny a day, doubled every day for the next 30 days? What would you choose? Now, if you said the penny, you would be right. So back when I first heard this, I thought to myself, well, I would not take a penny doubled every day. It's not going to amount to that much. It's only a penny. But there's a key here. The gift of a penny a day doubled every day, it starts really small. But as we will see, it's going to grow exponentially over time. And this is precisely why making tiny love investments daily is the best relationship advice. In relationships, the little things are big things. Small acts of love that seem insignificant at first are going to compound over and over and over and over again. So I want to back up just a tiny bit and talk about how the Bible plays into this. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings." It's talking about those tiny things that we can do and how we don't want to think that they're insignificant or push them away or not worry about them. Now, back to the power of the penny principle. I'm going to explain this to you real quick, so listen closely. So far, we've seen that if you choose the gift of a penny every day, doubled every day, on day 3, you'd receive 4 cents. By day 15, you're probably feeling frustrated. After all, you'd only get $163.84 that day. When added to what you were gifted on the previous days, your grand total is a mere $327.67. And that's already on day 15, halfway through. Guess what? Now you're thinking, man, I should have chosen $1 million. And you're probably beating yourself up, but not so fast, because if you're patient for a little longer, it's going to get exciting. So if you accepted the gift of a penny a day, doubled for 30 days, on day 27, you would receive $671,088.64. And I'm sure you've already thought through this, that you are really excited right now, because when this doubles tomorrow, you would receive well over $1 million. And then there are still 2 days left. So on day 30, you would receive $5,368,709.02. And if you add this to what you collected on the previous days, the grand total, are you ready, guys? Drum roll, please. Is $10,737,418.23. Wow, guys, that's over 10 times the amount of the other gift. That's astounding exponential growth. In short, human beings internalize love. Small acts of kindness replay in our minds again and again. Like the penny in our illustration, love compounds too. I want to bring this to you in a real life example. We're going to talk about when Rick and I first met. So let's travel all the way back to shortly after I met Rick in 2010 at our community college. I was 18 and I met him in the fall semester of 2010. And the first thing I loved about him was his smile. It literally lit up my heart that day, and I knew that he was special. Soon after, he asked me out and he took me to Pizza Hut. So guys, this is mega embarrassing, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I am an only child, and I was certainly blessed in my life. I have eaten at incredible fancy restaurants all over. I've traveled to most all of the states, and I have had lots of experience in the finer things of life, as well as just a lot of experiences in general. My parents, they were wonderful. They gave me so many experiences and love and a great foundation, and I just can't thank them enough for everything they've done for me. So being that I was an only child and got a lot of blessings in my life, Pizza Hut was certainly not my idea of a date, let alone a first date. Looking back, I was completely wrong, and I did not have my priorities straight. Obviously, I was very young, and I didn't realize what a blessing this story would actually come to be for me now, looking back. So we're sitting there at Pizza Hut across from one another. He has that wonderful smile on his face. He's so excited to have taken me to this place that he likes and he doesn't get to go to as often. And I remember I stupidly commented about how we should have gone to a nice restaurant. Rick's normally smiling face fell instantly and tears started falling down his face. I'll never forget that moment. I certainly had never seen him cry, and it was that moment that it hit me. He was giving his all. What he had and what he enjoyed, and to him, that was enough. And don't get me wrong, it should have been to me as well, and certainly it is now as I think back. But the best part is that I have never forgotten this story, and I realize now that that was one of the very first acts of kindness in our relationship. It was a small gesture to show me how much he wanted to spend time with me, and I will never forget it. So Rick, he came from a family where he has two sisters, and his parents did a wonderful job teaching him responsibility and that it was important for him to work hard for what he had. And I love that they have done that because it's been so important to make him responsible as an adult now and to make sure that he can provide for his family. Looking back, I smile because I know how wise he is with money, and if it weren't for his knowledge and smarts about money, we would not be where we are financially with the real estate properties and just our finances in general. So I can't thank his parents enough for giving him that wonderful foundation. Another funny story is shortly after that Pizza Hut date, we started actually dating for real. And for Christmas, he gave me a giant jug of the pumpkin spice flavoring from Dunkin' Donuts. It was probably a 1/2 gallon jug. He worked there at the time and he knew that was one of my very favorites. I came in all the time and I would see him and I would get my pumpkin spice coffee. That was a small act that was so huge to me and something I will never forget. I could go on and on, but I think this proves the point that the tiny things really do add up. I want you to think in your life about this and come up with some examples of those small things that your spouse has done that actually mean the world to you. Now let's look into the science behind this. Expert John Gottman has observed over 100 couples in his love lab. He and his team carefully code the fine details of each interaction. As a result, they produced a simple formula for relationship success. John's system is so refined that he is able to predict with an astounding 96% accuracy which relationships will succeed and which will fail after observing a couple for only 5 minutes. Here is one amazing discovery John and his team made that validates the power of tiny acts of love. According to John, happy, stable couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative one. This 5-to-1 ratio is another reason applying the penny principle to your bond is such powerful relationship advice. According to Gottman, conflict is inevitable. It's not the absence of conflict that makes or breaks a relationship. Instead, it's a persistent love that makes the difference. Gottman says the difference between happy and unhappy couples is the balance between positive and negative interactions during conflict. There is a very specific ratio that makes love last. That magic ratio is 5-to-1. So are you guys ready for this? Do you want to know how to have a $5 million marriage? A unique British study conducted in 2004 discovered how to assign a dollar amount to relational happiness. Here are the fascinating results and what we learned about relationships. Engaging in sexual activity with a partner once a week created a happiness equivalent to a $50,000 raise. Stable marriages with regular sexual activity boosted happiness to the tune of $100,000 a year. On the other hand, the pain of divorce is equivalent to losing $66,000 in annual income. Add this to the actual cost of a divorce, which averages $15,000, but can cost as much as $3.8 billion, and the sum is quite hefty. This means happy couples who make love investments daily and celebrate their golden anniversary together literally have a $5 million marriage. Here's the math, guys. If you're into math, $100,000 in happiness a year times 50 years equals $5 million in marital bliss. So I want to end this talking about the love bank. Picture your partner with an internal love bank. Every interaction that you have with them either results in a love bank deposit or a love bank withdrawal. It's like a typical savings account. The goal is to build a healthy balance and never go in the negative. The best part is love bank deposits only take a minute. It's a kind word, a soft smile, a hug, their favorite treat. All these add to Gottman's magic ratio of 5 positive interactions to every negative one. These simple acts resonate in your loved one's heart and mind, accruing interest over time. I hope you guys find this fascinating. I certainly do. And I think there's so much to relationships. I could go on and on. There's so many Bible verses that I wasn't even able to cover today about love and relationships and marriage. And I just want to let you know that this is the start. I can't wait to do more on relationships. I think it's really important and they are so vital to our happiness. I hope that you can apply these things in your life starting today and that you're excited to make sure that your marriage is strong and secure. Join me next Wednesday. Episodes come out at 5 a.m. Be sure to grab a cup of coffee or tea and join me next Wednesday.